Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Book Bites for Kids from the National Writing for Children Center at www.writingforchildrencenter.com and The Morning Nudge. If you're a writer and your pen won't budge, read The Morning Nudge. You can subscribe at www.morningnudge.com. This is your host, Suzanne Lawrence, and today I'm going to be speaking to children's author and storyteller, Diane de las Casas. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Suzanne. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for being with me. This is really fun. You and I were talking a few minutes ago about how we talk to people all over the country. And, of course, my show is broadcast here from Kansas City, and you are in New Orleans, right?
Yes.
Ah, what's it like
big
there today?
Big Easy.
The Big Easy, yeah. Well, how is it in the Big Easy today? You had snow there a few weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah, isn't that weird? We had snow.
Uh-huh.
One day, it stuck to the ground. It was just so weird. And now it's like a balmy 79 degrees outside.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I love New Orleans except in August. And then that's just the stickiest place I've ever been in my life. But it's a beautiful place. And it's just so much fun. So many fun
and
things to do
there. And that's
why
we have air conditioning.
That's right. You just have to live indoors in August. But it's a great place. Listen, before we get started today, we're going to tell people about your books. And you've got a really fun book, The Cajun Cornbread Man, which is really cute. But I want to tell people you're also a storyteller, so give us a little bit of about your background and how you became a children's writer, too.
Okay, well, I've always wanted to write for kids. I knew this even when I was a child. I told everybody. As a matter of fact, I still keep in touch with my 7th and 8th grade English teacher.
Oh, wow.
And she knew I wanted to be a writer, so she saved my writings from many years ago when she retired. After 30 years of teaching, she sent them to me, and she told me, I knew you would become somebody special. I knew you would make it. So it's really cool to be able to have, to be working my dream. I came to storytelling, actually, through writing. I began volunteering at my local library, doing Saturday story times as a way to improve my writing for children. I figured that if I could find out what kids really like to read and find out what was the latest in children's books, it would help me to improve my own writing. What I didn't know was that the storytelling was going to wrap its arms around me and whisk me away.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So the children's librarian that I worked with, she said, Diane, you're so good at this. You should do this professionally. And I said, what? What do you mean? She said, oh, yeah, we hire people to do that in the library. And I was thinking to myself, you mean I've been doing this for 2 years for free?
And I could have been getting paid all along.
Right.
Wow.
So she planted a seed, and it just grew, and it blossomed. And, you know, when I came home and I told my husband I wanted to become a storyteller, he just gave me this blank stare of, are you crazy? But here I am, almost 13, 14 years later, making a very nice living as a storyteller and author, traveling all over the world, doing presentations for kids. I see about 75,000 children a year.
Wow.
And I also do a lot of professional development for teachers and librarians. So it's a wonderful life. I'm very blessed. I love what I do.
Yeah. Now, what I like about one of the things about your site, and if people want to see your site, let's tell them how to get to that, but it's just www.storyconnection.net.
Yes.
Many times it's the author's name, but yours is storyconnection.net. And what I really like about it is this little tagline you have at the top that says, connecting kids and literacy through the arts, because I always think literacy sounds sort of dull and boring, but it really isn't because of so many things it can encompass, you know, reading wonderful stories, hearing wonderful stories, acting them out, all these kind of things. So I think that's just really wonderful, you know, the way you've got that in here. So it makes
Thank
it sound
you.
Fun, which it is fun, you know. Kids need to know that. Literacy is not something as boring as it sounds. That word just, I don't know, it's not a fun-sounding word to become literate, you know.
I know, but it brings to mind state benchmarks and curriculum and
right. Right. Not fun stories and dressing up in costume and listening to things. And as a storyteller, you know what a wonderful audience young children make. You know, they just get into the world of the story you're telling. So that's
absolutely
just incredible. Yeah. So tell us a little bit.
I do, when I work with kids, I not uh-huh. only do I perform for them, but uh-huh. I teach them how to perform. And
ooh.
Really bring literature to life in the classroom. Like next week, I begin a residency where I'm working for 2 solid weeks in a school, touching pre-K through 5, and mm-hmm. we're doing Tangram Tales, which is one of my books that just came out a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it's storytelling illustrated with tangrams, the ancient Chinese puzzle. Mm-hmm. So the kids get to tell the stories, and they manipulate the tangrams to illustrate the story. So it's just so much fun to be able to combine storytelling with other art forms. And that's why I say connecting kids and literacy through the arts, because
right.
the arts really help to bring that whole literature and folk tales and writing to life.
Right, right. And that's what I think a truly literate person is, someone who knows more than just how to read and write. They know how to
absolutely.
Make those connections. They know how to speak about things. They know the stories and things that have come from, you know, their own culture as well as different cultures. So let's look at some of the books that you've got. And they just sound so exciting, and also the way you come up with these ideas. I'm looking on your site, and of course, The Cajun Cornbread Boy, which, you know, you can tell from the title, it's sort of a take on The Gingerbread Boy, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But it's got a spicy twist at the end.
Uh-huh.
So
can you read a little bit of that? Because the wording is different, according
to Cajun. Yeah, because it has some French in it.
Right.
So
I think that's cool.
The little refrain that runs throughout the book, no pun intended, or actually pun intended,
right.
like this. But the Cajun Cornbread Boy did not stop. He kept running, crying out, "Run, Sha, run, as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm full of cayenne." Now, you can't see me, but I'm actually doing the movements as I say that.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's funny. Kids love that. Okay, so that, now when did that book come out?
It just came out. It's a brand new release. It actually, I got the book in my hands just before Christmas, which was a little bit early. So mm-hmm. January 2009 is the official, you know, release date, publication
date. And
that
date. One's from Penguin?
This one is from Pelican.
Pelican, I mean Pelican.
Louisiana publisher, yes. They're the largest publisher in the South.
Ah.
Regional publisher.
Pelican, yeah. Oh, that how appropriate sounding for New Orleans.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Pelicans, cornbread boys, alligators.
Yeah.
We're
oh,
all
wow.
in the bayou.
That's
and this
right.
whole book is set in the bayou. So there's a lot of fun learning, too. And that's
uh-huh.
one of the things I love about being a storyteller and a children's author is
uh-huh.
that you can teach children in a very fun manner without preaching to them. So they're learning science and social studies. And they get it because it's in the context of a story.
Right, right, yeah. Well, then you've got the Story Biz Handbook. So tell us a little bit about that.
The Story Biz Handbook is a book for people who are interested in pursuing storytelling or making presentations as a living. So it's 30 chapters and nearly 400 pages of how-to
mm-hmm.
Lots of advice from experts around the country and actually from around the world. I have storytellers who have lent their words of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's got forms in it. It's a tome of a book.
Uh-huh. That sounds like a perfect book for a lot of our listeners for this show, because many of our listeners are children's book authors who maybe have written a book but don't quite know how to take that leap into writing a book and a story and then turning it into an actual storytelling type business. Maybe not just a business, but even just doing things like turning your book into great school presentations. Sounds like it'd
absolutely.
Be helpful for that.
I have an entire chapter on that, and
mm-hmm.
I even have a guidelines on how to create a study guide, which if you are a children's author and you work in the schools, you definitely need to have that.
Right. Uh-huh.
You need to be able to know how to connect your book with the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
It helps teachers. It helps the librarians.
It gets you in more demand, too.
Pardon?
It gets you in more demand as an author to visit, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that came out from Libraries Unlimited, and then I see your Tangram Tales is from that same publisher as well, right?
In fact, all the rest of my books are from Libraries Unlimited. I have some upcoming books, but let me talk about my books that I have out now. Story Fest,
okay.
Crafting uh-huh. Story Theater Scripts.
Ooh.
It is a book on how to turn stories into story theater, and it's similar to Reader's Theater,
uh-huh.
except that my method gives everyone a part. So if you have a large group, everybody gets a part, so people are not left out.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I do a lot of work in the classroom, and I do a lot of work with teachers. So a lot of my storytelling is storytelling and literacy and storytelling based in education.
Mm-hmm.
Kamishibai Story Theater, The Art of Picture Telling, is Kamishibai is a Japanese form of storytelling with illustrated picture cards. And in my method, the whole class performs a story theater, and each of the children illustrates a portion of the story. So they tell the story, they create the illustrations. Fantastic.
Oh, fun. Yeah, that's wonderful. Gosh.
Thank you. Handmade Tales, Stories to Make and Take, has 27 stories in it, cut and tell, draw and tell, string stories, fold and tell. I use bandanas, towels, napkins, handkerchiefs, all kinds of cool things you can find around the house, really inexpensive mm-hmm. items, newspaper, dollar bills, shoestring. I mean, it's crazy the kind of things you can turn into a story.
Gosh, all these books sound wonderful for teachers, just all of them.
They are. And kids love learning them, too. So,
uh-huh.
you know, like with Handmade Tales, I teach it to teachers, teachers teach it to kids. So
it's
great. It's fun.
Oh, wow. That sounds really fun. So I know what people listening to this are wondering, and that is when you have written so many books here on so many diverse things as far as storytelling and stories for kids and literacy and all that, and you see so many children a year through all these visits, what's a typical writing day like for you? When do you find time to put in the writing?
People ask me, in fact, my daughter asked me this question last night, Mom, when do you sleep?
She always sees you awake, right?
I don't have a quote-unquote typical writing day.
Uh-huh.
I'm very prolific, so I write all the time. I blog regularly. I send out an email newsletter that has a monthly subscribership of 11,000 plus around the world.
Whoa, that's impressive.
Thank you. It's called Story Connection Express, and it has a ton of ideas for parents, teachers, and librarians to bring grown-ups together with kids.
Uh-huh.
It's really one of my big platforms, bringing grown-ups and kids together on the platform of literacy, making it fun,
right.
You know.
Oh, I'm going to sign up for that. I see it right here. On your page, you've got Story Connections Express. Yeah, Story Expressions Press.
Story Connection Express.
And then you have the Passport Kids Club. What is that?
That is four times a year, so it's a quarterly newsletter just uh-huh. for kids. It doesn't have any kind of – there's no advertising or anything. It's just about learning about the world. So I choose a country each issue – and we explore that country, the people, the animals, the vocabulary. Yeah, they learn about the language, and I always choose a story from that culture.
Uh-huh.
So kids, they have their passport to the world through that newsletter.
Oh, that's cool. Now, do you have to be a kid to join?
No, you don't have to be a kid to join. I have tons of grown-ups who love it.
Oh, good. Okay. I want to join that one, too.
I have lots of teachers and librarians who subscribe because they use it as lesson plans.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I just love sharing information, and especially information in the form of a story. It's just so much fun to do. I'm like you. You know, I'm kind of an information hoarder. But, well, I don't hoard it. I share it. So I gather it and I share it.
Oh, yeah. What good is it if you can't share it? I love sharing information, too. You know, it's just like telling a story. That's why we love to tell stories.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. That's great. So then tell us.
Finishing answering your question about my typical writing day.
Yeah.
I write whenever, wherever I can. You know, like Shakira, whenever, wherever.
Oh, well. You do the hip thing, too?
I do, and I do that in my shows.
Oh, wow. Now, that's really talented.
My shows are very fun and energetic. Mm-hmm. In fact, if anyone wants to see one of my shows, they can go to my website and see a video. I actually have several videos on there, so they can actually see me in action. And I do a lot of singing and dancing and clapping and lots of audience participation. My shows are very interactive.
Oh, great.
So it's
love that.
Tons of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I write when I can. And I write on the road. I have, you know, I'm totally technology connected. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got the smartphone. I have a mini laptop. I have the big laptop. You know? So no matter where in the world I am, I can always, you know, have access.
So
even when I travel abroad, I think that's really important.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah, because my editor would go ballistic if she couldn't find me.
Couldn't find you. Yeah. That'd be pretty scary.
Where in the world is Diane?
That's right. Yeah, she's out with Matt Lauer somewhere. We're always looking for him on the world. Well, tell us a little bit then about the marketing aspect of your work, because obviously if you're doing all these presentations, you know, you're having people book you for these things. How do you get all these bookings?
Well, I do a lot of presentations at conferences. Like this past summer, I was at the International Reading Association conference in Atlanta, and then I was at American Library Association Conference. I'm always at Texas Library Association Conference. I was at the International Association of School Librarians Conference. So people see me at a conference, and they go, oh, yeah, we like her. We'll bring her in. So I do a lot of state and regional conferences because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I keep my email list up to date. I always ask people if they can subscribe, and I get subscribers every day from my website, which is really cool.
Right.
And, you know, so every time a newsletter goes out, I get bookings. So that's really great that it kind of keeps me in the forefront. And I'm actually booking into 2010.
Ooh.
So, that's good, especially since we have a big recession.
Oh, well, yeah, you have to be. I heard Rush Limbaugh the other day talking to Barbara Walters or something, saying he just chooses not to participate in that. So it sounds like you're not participating in it either.
No. What is that, recession?
Yeah, just choose not to participate. So, you know. Yeah.
That's great. Choosing not to participate.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, too. Yeah, just, you know, I'm not going to be part of that, so just make that decision. So then let's look at your website a little bit more then. You go do school visits and things. Do you have, like, an agent, or do you do all these bookings and all the stuff yourself, or do you have some kind of team?
I do it all myself.
Wow.
Yes, I have a great team of three, actually. Me, myself, and I.
Oh, wow.
And we all work together very well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you all get along. You all like each other. Yeah, that makes it easy. Gee. So what's the best part of being a children's author and a storyteller?
The children. Absolutely the children. There is nothing, for me, there's no greater satisfaction than doing a presentation and seeing their faces light up. Or, you know, after a presentation, I'm mobbed by hugs.
Uh-huh.
I was in Guam this past year.
Oh, where are you? I used to live on Guam when I was in high school. Gosh, I'd love to go back there and see it.
I love Guam. Oh, my gosh. I love Rattidian Beach.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Guam is beautiful.
Oh, it is beautiful, but I haven't been there in 40 years. I'd love to see it now. I couldn't imagine. Can't
you know,
it,
it's still, they still are very prideful of their Chamorro culture.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping to go back. I have proposed a project with a local TV station and the International Reading Association Guam Council to help preserve Chamorro culture through their stories.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hoping to go back and work with them on that because I think,
okay.
You know, after several generations, the kids, they sort of lose their touch with the culture. So mm-hmm. we have to get all of that recorded before the elders are gone, you know.
Right. Right. Well, I interrupted you, so tell us what were you doing in Guam?
Oh, so what I was saying about...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We got sidetracked, but
yeah.
It's all fun to talk about. Oh, I was in Guam, so I was telling stories. I was on the stage. I had 500 kids in the audience. I came off the stage. I always come off the stage to come and mingle with the kids and say hello. And,
mm-hmm.
well, all of a sudden, it was like I was Hannah Montana. They were bum rushing me, and I looked around and I was screaming to the teachers, "Help me! I'm drowning! Help me!"
Oh wow! Oh.
But the kids had never seen anything like it before, so it was just really wonderful to be able to go mm-hmm. to a place like Guam. And even though it is the U.S.,
right.
it's still very much like its own country.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. the people there are so warm and so friendly. So mm-hmm. if anyone from Guam is listening, half a day.
Yeah, half a day. Yeah, where America's Day begins. That's right. Oh, that's cool. Gosh. So then out of all this, it sounds like you just have a wonderful time. But what's the most challenging part of it all?
Balancing. The juggling act. Because I do so much myself. You know, there's the marketing, the promotion, there's the desk work, you know, that actual nose to the grindstone kind of stuff that goes on behind the scenes
right.
that you have to do. Keeping up the website, you know, sending out the newsletter, just balancing it all. The travel, because I travel so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm a mom and I'm a wife.
Wow.
So I have to find that balance. Where I can spend time with my spend quality time with my family, as well as, you know, being able to share myself with the world.
Right, because when you go off to somewhere like Guam, that's not just a day trip. So do you take the family with you?
It's a day trip, a whole day on the plane.
Yeah. Right,
and in airports and layovers.
Uh-huh. So do you take your family with you on those types of things?
When I travel during non-school times, because you know, mm-hmm. I have two daughters. I have one who's 8
uh-huh.
and one who's 18 and in college.
Oh, wow.
She's in art school and she wants to be a children's book illustrator.
Oh, cool. That'll fit
right
in.
I know. Very cool, right? I can't wait to do a project with her.
Exactly.
Her name is Soleil. But when Soleil always traveled with me during the summer when she was younger, and now mm-hmm. Eliana, my 8-year-old, travels with me in the summer and performs with me. So both children have traveled and performed with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of fun. I mean, I don't know very many jobs where you can bring your kids along and it's, you know, perfectly cool.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and your children get to see the world.
Exactly. It's fun.
Yeah, that's great. Gosh. So you don't have an agent, and so these books that you do, what do you do then? Just send out a query in terms of, well, obviously Libraries Unlimited has gotten to know you.
Well, now I have relationships. Building a business is all about establishing relationships. I have a second book on the way with Pelican, a second children's book.
Uh-huh.
Called Madame Poulet and Monsieur Roach. It is a New Orleans folk tale that is so much fun. In
mm-hmm.
fact, I met with my illustrator today to talk about the direction of the book, and it's so much fun. And I'm very lucky that my illustrator lives close by, and we're friends, and my publisher says, yes, go ahead, work together, collaborate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
because a lot of times you don't even meet the illustrator.
No, not especially not with the larger publishers. But because this is a smaller publisher, family-owned, they do a lot of marketing in the regional markets, and now they're starting to branch out nationally. They have a very strong backlist,
mm-hmm.
which I think, for me, was very important in choosing a publisher. someone with a strong backlist, so you know your book is not going to go out of print after 6 months.
Right.
You know, these are the kinds of things you need to think about when you're writing books.
Right.
My other publisher, my educational publisher, Libraries Unlimited, you know, I it used to be where I had to send the whole packet by mail and, you know, FedEx it there. But now I have such a good relationship with my editor. I just send her a quick email and she goes, okay, just email that to me.
Right. Yeah. That's cool. Gosh.
But I am right now, I am, because I am getting so very busy, I am on doing an active search for a literary agent. So I have so many stories. I said, I'm very prolific. And I'm at that point now where I need somebody else to market those stories for me.
Yeah, and it sounds like you could use a VA too, a virtual assistant.
You know, I had an assistant, and then she moved away.
Oh,
good help. It's so hard to find, right?
Yeah. That's why you have to get virtual assistants now, who can live anywhere, but they can keep up the website and get the newsletter out.
I've been looking at that
too,
the possibility of getting a VA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just so much you can do, and you need to save your energy for all the creative part that you're so good at, you know. But if you're like me, it's all fun, so that's the hard part, giving out anything, because it's just all fun.
Here's the funny thing. My graphic artist who does all of my promotional materials, he lives in the L.A. area, and I have never met him.
Oh,
and we've been working together for now like 7 years.
Oh,
my webmaster, she lived in Idaho, moved to Arizona. I don't see her either. So. We work virtually. So that's the great thing about technology today is that you have all of that at your fingertips.
Oh, yeah, that's great. So tell us some of the stuff you do for marketing other than going to these conferences and performing.
Well, like I said, I send out my email newsletter, and that's a huge thing, and I do it consistently every month. Mm-hmm. I try to keep up with the pulse of what's out there, the bloggers, who is doing a podcast, like you. I contacted you. So, I try to do my homework, and I think that's a really important thing for children's book authors is that they need to do their homework, their field research. You know, they do that for their books. They need to do that for their marketing. Find out who's out there, who can be a contact, and networking is so important, and building that contact list. So, you know, everyone I meet to me is a potential contact, a potential hire, a potential buyer.
Right.
So I'm constantly collecting contacts.
Yeah, and if you have a mailing list of 11,000 plus, I would think any agent listening to this would be ready to sign you up. Because a mailing list are potential buyers for your book, and an initial print run isn't even 11,000 most of the time, so you've already sold the book. You know what I mean?
I do have a big following, and I have people every month who email me. It's just wonderful to know that there's that kind of feedback out there where people appreciate the work that you do. Like I said, I just feel like I live a very blessed life. Before this, I worked in the legal field. I was a office manager, legal secretary.
I can't even imagine you doing that.
Right? But that's why I have such good business sense.
Yeah, but it seems like you'd be bored to death doing
that. Background.
Right.
Pardon?
It seems like you'd be bored to death with that kind of thing, though. Working in one place, not traveling around, telling stories to everyone, doing all these things.
I think every part of your life is a stepping stone to where you are now.
Yeah,
I lived all over the world as a child. My dad was in the military, so we traveled a lot. And, of course, that has been instrumental in shaping my storytelling and my travels today.
Oh, sure.
And then working down in a downtown office in a corporate environment was essential to helping me hone my own business skills and to be an entrepreneur. So I look at it all as an important part of shaping who I am.
Right. Well, gosh, Diane, we are just about out of time.
I'm glad I did leave that world.
yeah, exactly. Listen, we've just got a few seconds left. This has been so much fun talking with you, and I could talk forever. I'm going to have you back on the show again sometime soon. So everyone else go
to come back.
Yeah, storyconnection.net.
I feel like I'm in a living room chit-chat with a girlfriend.
Yeah, that's fun. Me too. I know. I just, you know, we just need to have some coffee and beignets or something. That would be perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can have some jambalaya and some wine.
Oh, that sounds good too. Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, thanks so much for being with us today, and thanks everyone for listening to Book Bites for Kids, and tune in again tomorrow. That's it for now. Bye-bye.